Your two other points about the European vote and the Scottish vote, I do think those are very interesting questions for Northern Ireland. I mean, actually, a United Kingdom, I don't think we could call the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland if Scotland had left it. If Scotland voted for independence, I think it dramatically changes how a UK would feel and look. I think that's a huge challenge for people of a pro-union mindset. I don't think it'll happen. Do the rise of UKIP improve or lessen the chances of that? Does it put more pressure on Cameron? Certainly. Puts much more pressure. Can he resist the temptation to go to the right? Can he... you know, you look at the Queen's speech this week and everybody's just commenting, it's the end of the coalition. You know, the Queen's speech was so uninspiring. It, obviously, everybody's looking at the 2015 election. European vote. Difficult one. I'm usually relatively sympathetic to the European Union. Usually right up to I visit Brussels and then I get less sympathetic. But that's always a great place to go if you want to be put off Europe. But some of the things in the issues around Europe, I think that niggle on people. And governments probably shamelessly blame Europe for everything that they don't want to talk about. Actually, it wasn't us, it was the Commission made us do it, or the evil European Court, or whatever it happens to be. So but the UK and the relationship with Europe, and also the relationship with Europe and the euro, and the ever-increasing drive towards, whether they want to or not, but towards a very, very close-knit financial union where you could have taxes harmonised, is not something I'd want to be part of. So I'd rather have the UK on a second tier of Europe, or whatever you want to call it. I think the biggest gift that Gordon Brown gave us was keeping us out of the euro. And if it was only to wind Tony up, it was a price worth paying. We stayed out of the euro, and I think that has been our saving grace. And I suspect our friends in the Republic would like to be out of the euro, albeit they might have to opt into the pound, but which might be politically problematic. David, the left-right politics, I mean, I think, as Battle said, when you're not actually doing raising and varying taxes dramatically, I think if you did start to see us going to a model of sort of Devo Max, if you want to call it, you might see more of a left-right debate, because you would actually be challenging, and you could do that right across, even councils, if you're devolving more other tax-varying powers. At the minute they can tinker about with the rates, but it's not dramatic. Nobody seems to exactly know where it all goes or what it all happens to. So until you would get the tax-varying powers, and you'd need quite significant varying powers, it would Stormont be ready to deal with that, considering they've ducked every other issue? I suspect not. So the minute it's just spend a pot of money, so it is harder to get that left-right debate going. I certainly know my predecessor, Dermot Nesbitt, would have made the argument that he would like to have seen unionist parties, you know, just organising separately on, say, Labour-Conservative lines. You know, but you probably still have the orange-green divide that's going to stay with us for quite some time.
Okay. Any more questions before we close?
Can I just ask something? I suppose on reflection of all that's being said, there is a view to say that largely the middle classes, certainly the dual income households, have walked away from the devolved government. And their view is those idiots up there can do whatever they like, because we can live our lives quite nicely, thank you. We can sell our education and our health, and we have salaries, and we don't need to engage. Now, obviously, that is damaging for our society, it's damaging for citizenship. So what the view is from the media, what is needed is a dynamic, innovative, middle ground party that's going to attract these people back into local politics. Is that what you're offering?
Okay, and I'm going to get Alex to get the last question. Alex came back.
Is Alex allowed to ask?
I just want to drag you back very quickly to the, you know, you said you're in a, I think Basil said you're an unashamedly, unembarrassed pro-union, and you both mentioned about the disaster for unionism. I think whether you like it or not, however, whatever your policy is, whatever your manifesto is, the first question you're going to be asked at that press conference when you launch is about whether you're a unionist party or not, which is going to bring all sorts of other questions. So I'm just wondering, how do you picture yourself? You know, if you are, Basil said about trying to appeal to, you know, the unicorn, the Catholic unionist, how do you pitch to those people? How do you pitch small unionism without, you know, building a battle with big unionism? And basically, I think what I want to know is, how do you define the unionism that you actually believe in, which is not big unionism, and which, honestly, I don't think is moderate liberal unionism either? What exactly is your unionism?
Okay, two questions on where you're positioning your party.
We'll have two goes at it. I'll give my view and then you can give yours and we'll see if they agree, will they?
Is it split already?
actually, there isn't a split. There's been an interesting discussion.
Yet, but.
It's no matter what you say, it's not a split. Okay, it's just clarify my position, maybe.
So
there's a big question here, and actually it was one I wanted to come back. It was asked earlier, are we just another unionist party? And I can say categorically, we are not just another unionist party. One of the reasons why we resigned, I say we because John resigned and then told me and I had to resign too, isn't that right? No, but that's what people say actually, but... No, one of the reasons why is because there is no such thing as unionist unity. You know, they're the difference between myself and my namesake Willie McRae or David McNary is a huge gulf. It is a fundamentally different approach to the way that you want to live life. Our view about the United Kingdom, without making too big a song and dance about it, is that it is absolutely imperative from an economic point of view that we are a member of a bigger economic unit than the island of Ireland, that there are stability issues at play, that if you get yourself into endless border polls you will not get anything that you can invest in whether you like it or not. It's there and it's the best you've got, and that there are long term developments where you can look after people's cultural identity. And if you want to know the fundamental difference that we are, is that we are a party, and we are quite careful, and we will probably challenge in this point, is that we will not say we are a pro-union party. We are a pro-United Kingdom party. That's the difference. Because you get the name union or unionist, and for certain sections of the community, it becomes pejorative. What is a unionist? Is a unionist all the same? Not all unionists are the same. We believe absolutely in an open, tolerant, transparent, diverse democracy. We want to celebrate people's cultural identity. He's spoken in Newry at a Sinn Féin conference. I've spoken in Derry at a Sinn Féin conference. I've spoken to an SDLP conference. I've actually given out medals to the GA All-Stars in Irish. Not that I actually understood what I was saying, but I gave out the medals. I know there were a few surprised looks at us. But the issue is, I am sufficiently confident in my identity that I do not need to put a Union Jack around my flag. I can say with confidence that my uncles fought in the war. You know, my Uncle Bill is still alive after 30 missions flying over Germany. There's nobody that has to come and tell me, oh, you're this, that, and the other. But my family came from Donegal. You know, they didn't have to sign up. We did. That's because that's what we believed in. So our view about being part of the United Kingdom is that there is great benefits for everybody in terms of this plural, diverse, tolerant society. I also have to say, though, but if you ask me what is my identity is Northern Irish. I believe in Northern Ireland. I love Northern Ireland. I love the people of Northern Ireland. I know maybe it's a bit sort of over the top when you're in a political thing, but I actually think they're a laugh, most of them. You go, right, I don't care what background they're from. You meet them, they're fantastic. Character, wit, you know, intelligence, they all come back in. And yes, we do need to find a way of getting on together. But that comes from mutual respect. That comes from the fact of, as John was saying, about tolerance. Right? And it works both ways. You know, it is not enough to say the other side should be tolerant. Now, whenever I hear the word tolerance used, it usually means the other side should let me do what I want to do. That's not tolerance. Right? The shared future that we're looking for should be a better future, a future where we all buy in together. And we will take the argument, and we will make this argument. We had this big debate about, I'll tell you how it is quite frankly, a lot of people from South Belfast would come up to us and say, look, we don't mind the United Kingdom, but do you have to make a big song and dance about it? You know, you just sort of be a bit Northern Irish and just go on that. Mm-hmm. And you go, no. Because ultimately, although we don't want to do it, and we're trying to get this out at the start and then so that'll be the end of it, ultimately, everything reduces from the media down to the identity question. You know, are you a unionist or are you a nationalist? Are you green? Are you orange? Are you this, that, the other? You see that? That is a zero-sum game that will take us nowhere. We need to build a better identity, a Northern Irish identity, where people's backgrounds are respected, where you can go to a GAA match if you want to, where you can go to Irish dancing if you want to, or where you can go on a parade on the 12th if you want to. This is about tolerance. This builds a future. And if you get that right, you build an economy where our young people don't have to leave to get jobs, you know, where we can actually bring investment in, where we can look after old people, where we can have all of these positive things. And our challenge then, whenever we will go out, just finishing up on Deirdre's point here, is the challenge to the dual incomes, the people that have abandoned politics. And this is a wee bit of put out, don't misunderstand the word I'm going to say here, is John and I both know the risks that we have taken. Right? We know the chances of getting re-elected are modest. Maybe that's overstating it, is it?
So certainly in your case.
So but the reason why we've done it is because we're going to put it up to you. We're going to put it up to those people that come up and talked in the back and said, look, we think you're great guys and we're really pleased with what you've done. I said, you know, I wish you well. He says, it's not enough to say that's great that you're doing that, but by the way, I'm still voting for the other people. He says, get off your backsides and vote for people that are trying to make a difference. Get out, get engaged, get your neighbours, bring those people along, because you know what the flags thing did? It said to people, as John has said here, you cannot ignore politics. Ignore politics at your peril. The politics that we've got now will destroy our country, destroy our future, and destroy any opportunity that any of us have to win to have a normal life. So where are we? We're at the situation where I will take it head on when someone like Alex says to me, define yourself. Right? I'll take it on. I am Northern Irish. I am Irish. I am British. I am myself. I want to build a democracy where people can vote without fear. I want people to vote for something, not against something. I want people to have hope, vision, belief in themselves. And number one, I want to build a future for our children. Thank you.
On Deirdre's point, that is the big problem. I mean, I'm pulling this figure from memory, but 82% of us voted in 22nd of May, I think it was, 1998. So just coming up to almost 15 years ago. 82%. I mean, last year, or 2 years ago in South Down, the turnout was 58%. Lagan Valley was 52%. Strangford was 48%. East Antrim was somewhere like that as well. North Down maybe was lower. You know, so there's a huge disengagement. And I think, you know, that's got to be one of the key people. There were so many people turned out in that time, and a sizeable chunk of unionism turned out and said, look, you've done the peace thing, that's me, I've done my bit to carry on. But they didn't even turn out, not only 15 years later, they didn't even turn out some 6 weeks later for the election at the end of June 1998. And that's been a problem ever since. Give David Trimble problems in the first term. So that's got to be how we start to connect. And I'm not saying we're going to get all of those people out, but some of them just have no interest, nothing will move them out. But we have to start putting that challenge down to them and saying, if you want to change here, you're going to have to start voting and stop being boxed into voting out of fear and stop or being a mandatory SDLP voter. You know, look at the constituencies. Look at who who is a chance and the candidate that you would like to see winning that seat. Don't just, I mean, you listen to anybody watch that great speech of Mike Nesbitt's in Carrickfergus. It's a classic. And the challenge was very much, it's not unity, but we're going to do a deal in all of Belfast to get rid of the non-unionists. So Naomi and Alistair MacDonald, and we're going to secure Nigel in North Belfast. I mean, that's the sort of, that's what unionism and unity ends up doing. You just end up saying, well, actually, it really doesn't matter whether Naomi or Alistair are good, bad or indifferent at their job. We need to get rid of them because they're not really one of us. And that's the type of unionism that I don't like. I want to offer choice. And if you look at the turnout, when people do unity, it does exactly the opposite of what you're wanting us to challenge people to do. It drives down turnout. 2005 Westminster election, unionism in Fermanagh South Tyrone had a notional majority of over 5,000. By 2010, it was -4. And you go, how did that happen? And people come up to me and go, but John, you're splitting the unionist vote and everybody wants unity on the ground. And you go, well, they're not voting for it. There's 800, 900 more turned up, unionists turned out in the 2011 Assembly election than the year before, or Michelle Gildon, you would have lost the seat. There's 600 or 700 less turned up in Mid-Ulster. The percentage might have went up, but the total went down. So you're making unionism, unifying like that, drives people away rather than bringing them in. Because unionism, by its very nature, is quite independent, free-thinking people. So, you know, in Alex's point about being either pro-union or pro-United Kingdom, you know, absolutely rocks all, want Northern Ireland to stay part of the United Kingdom. No debate about that. And why? Economic reasons, Basil has mentioned. Absolutely. You know, we get a 10.5 billion subvention every year. Does anybody really think? I mean, you might as well sink the Republic if you put that into it. It's just physically. Their entire income tax take is 13 billion euro. I mean, how would you physically manage that? It's the sort of unreality, you know, completely off the wall thinking if you think you could achieve that. But the other bits about the union that I like, we've actually defined unionism, or to those watching in and looking at unionism, we've defined it as this: wrap yourself in the flag, intolerant, exclusive, all of the things that it shouldn't be. When you look at what actually the founding charter of unionism, if you like, was about, say, the covenant, when it talked about equal citizenship, civil and religious freedom, you know, actually, you're going, so how did we take the Carson view of unionism 100 years ago and end up at where we're at today, what now passes for unionism? So, you know, that's the bit that annoys me. We've actually let the word be hijacked, almost like on the other side, we've let the Irish language debate become so politicised. And actually, instead of recognising that Presbyterians saved the language, we say, well, actually, that's not for us. So we walk off, we clear off the playing field and don't even challenge that assumption. And that's the bit, it's that pluralist, that welcoming of diversity. Look across our United Kingdom, look at the differences. And Scotland is not the south of England. Parts of the southeast of England are very different from the English West Country. We have this huge diversity with many different cultures, a complete melting pot across our United Kingdom. And yet we are in this small piece and we are so intolerant. The points that Basil made, I don't want to dip everybody in and just say that we should be some shade of beige. I want that diversity. I want to be happy. I want to be fit to celebrate if Down win a GAA final. I want to be fit as a member and as someone born and bred in County Down. I want to be fit to celebrate that. Same as I'm happy to watch a Covenant parade. I want to see it pass off peacefully. I want families to go and enjoy a day out. I don't want people, and if the parade happened to be in your town, I don't want you to feel I've either to move out for the day or I'm a prisoner in my own home. I want people to be fit to stand in their door and watch and enjoy the pageantry, the colour, whatever it is. That's where we have to get back to. We've somehow in the years in between. We've lost all of that. And it's those values, Alex, of the union that I believe passionately in and I want to see. So probably your point about being moderate, I'm actually not moderate when it comes to pluralism. I believe passionately in it. And I'm not going to be moderate when it comes to saying the union is the best vehicle to deliver some of those values. That's what I say, and I don't want to clear off the playing pitch just because the brand has almost become contaminated because of what we've seen on our streets and our televisions over the last few months and indeed years. And that's where I get passionate about it and want to see. And, you know, people always look at this balance of rights and responsibilities. I have the right to walk down this road. You don't always have to exercise your right. You can get to that spirit of generosity and say, actually, you know, this year we're not going to do that. Or alternatively, residents can say, you know, this year, work away. And that's the spirit that I want to see engendered in Northern Ireland rather than the zero-sum game politics that, well, I'm not doing that, I'm not backing down, you have to do this. So you end up with the Parades Commission having to make rulings. And you end up, and we're all the losers out of that. We end up with the police in the middle. We end up with most of the population wishing they were in Spain or Portugal for a few weeks around then. That's the
all year round.
The all year round, or indeed Cyprus. So that's the difference, you know, that I want us as a party to bring. I've automatically joined everyone in here. That's the difference that I want Basil and I to make, or to try and make. And I'm not saying it's going to be an easy to do. It's not going to be easy to gather up support. It's not going to be easy to build. But I want to be out creating that narrative of a pro-United Kingdom party and a vision for a better Northern Ireland. I'm the father of two young children. I don't want my daughter and son to have to leave Northern Ireland and want to stay away and just look and go. I bumped into an old lecturer of mine a couple of weeks ago and was asking about his family. And his son and daughter are both at Glasgow and Edinburgh University. No intention of coming back. Just looked in and went, not a chance. And I don't want that for my kids growing up. And I'm quite sure some of you that have young children or children in their teens or at university are looking for work don't want that. That we're, the only thing we do here is give them a good education and send them off to Australia. That's not what we want. So thanks, Duncan.
Just on one last point, because we didn't promise our one-upmanship with our other university, we would get a name.
Ah, we'll tell you confidentially after, dear, and then you can wind Rick up.
That you know.
You just tell him you know. You just tell him you know. We have decided to accept Jazzle as the name. It's the best that we could come up with. And look, the letter, although I never was great at spelling, the letter J is at the start. So
okay, listen, thank you very much indeed. I think it's been very informative, very helpful, and we're glad you came here rather than the other side of Belfast. At least we have the evidence that happened. Not that we're hurt at all. But anyway, thank you very much, and I think we should run the floor.